हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 32, chapter 65. Lord Balaram said, O sinful one, disrespecting me, you do not come when I call you, but rather move only by your own whim. Therefore, with the tip of my plow, I shall bring you here in 100 streams. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Thus scolded by the Lord, O King, the frightened river goddess Jamuna came and fell at the feet of Sri Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu. Trembling, she spoke to him the following words. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. She spoke plaintive words, vacham, or she spoke words of a frightened woman, since he was the elder brother of Krishna, Yadu Nandanam. It was appropriate to fall at his feet. O King, it is proper to deliver her from fear, as it is proper to deliver the frightened citizens. Since Lakshmi has many expansions who act as the consorts of the Lord, according to the particular form of the Lord, this form of the river had appeared, that appeared was a great vibhuti of the Lord, a shadow form of Kalandi, and a form who is the wife of the ocean. Harivamsa says, Prat yu vachara charnava vadhum, the wife of the ocean replied. As well, she is addressed in that scripture as Saga Ra Gana, wife of the ocean. Right, so she has different forms depending upon what is the aspect that we are connecting to the Lord. Because as Krishna expands, his energies expand, so then you get all variety of personalities that are there, that are different combinations or different manifestations. Because you're starting with an original energy. You're starting with Radha and Krishna, and then you're going out from there to the Astasakya. From there you go out like this. So everything will start from these individuals and then expand. So that way you get all the different personalities in the Leela. You'll get all the different realms, you know, personalities in the realms, in the spiritual world, the material world, the demigods. All these potencies all eventually go back to them. Does that make sense? So it's not, so it shouldn't be found strange how then she can have all these different aspects. She's a shadow form of Kalindi, right? And a form is the wife of the ocean. Right? Because that, like Prabhupada mentions, that the rivers are like wives of the ocean because they all go to the ocean. Right? They've all come from the ocean. They all go back to the ocean. Goddess Jamuna said, Rama, Rama, O mighty armed one, I know nothing of your prowess. With a single portion of yourself, you hold up the earth. O Lord of the universe, footnote 8, the phrase Ekam Shena, with a single portion, refers to the Lord's expansion as Sesha. Right, so that's just a single portion of that, and he's doing that with just one head. Right, so like that, then he's holding up, and then he's holding up the whole, each universe is like a mustard seed on his head. So there's no. My Lord, please release me, O soul of the universe. I didn't understand your position as the Supreme Godhead, but now I have surrendered unto you, and you are always kind to your devotees. So one is also as the elder brother of Krishna, then that king from the Yadu dynasty, then they're always to those who are surrendered, and then as the Supreme Lord, then surrendered devotees, so then there's the proper interaction. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Jamuna said, I did not understand your supreme position, Parambhavam, as Bhagavan, or your greatness as the Lord full of all powers, other than that you hold up the universe. You know my knowledge, since you have full knowledge, Bhagavan. being the soul of the universe, Vishvatma, Paramatma. Thus you should free me from being pulled. Rama replied, O angry woman, why should I free you since you disobeyed my orders? Yamuna said, I am surrendered to you. You must be merciful to the surrendered, O Lord, affectionate to the devotees. Or Yamuna said, you know this. Why do you lie and say you don't know? You should free me because you are Bhagavan. Being omniscient, you should be merciful. Rama replied, but punishment should be given to the offenders. Yamuna said, you are most dear. You should not see offenses. Or you are the inspiration for all acts, Vishvatman. Or Yamuna said, I do just as I am engaged by you. What is my offense? Do you want the world to have no rules at all? You are affectionate to the devotees. Rama replied, are you a devotee if you refuse to follow my order? Yamuna, I have surrendered to you. Previously I performed bhakti by giving happiness when you played with Krishna in the water. Or as a portion of Kalindi, Krishna's queen, I am also your devotee. Or I have come to you in the trench dug by the plow. This is my surrender. Right? In other words, he dug the trench, so she came through that. Technically, she doesn't have to. But because of that surrender, then she comes through there. Right? Yeah. So we see here is that this form that's coming, this is a form that then when Krishna and Balaram play, then she's taking that form. So this is the form that she's coming to Balaram now. Now the form in which she's a consort of Krishna, that's a different form. Does that make sense? So in other words, she has all these different aspects. So she's not going to have that aspect in dealing with Balaram. Right? Yeah. She has so many aspects. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Therefore, Lord Balaram, thereupon, Lord Balaram released the Yamuna and, like the king of the elephants, with his entourage of she-elephants, entered the river's water with his female companions. The Lord played in the water to his full satisfaction, and when he came out, Goddess Kanti presented him with blue garments, precious ornaments, and a brilliant necklace. The BBT purport mentions. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes from the Vishnu Puran to show that the goddess Kanti mentioned here is actually Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Because the different aspects of Lakshmi, like that, I think there's eight main ones that are there. So then Kanti is one of them. Like that, you have also, I think the 12 different Vishnu Murtis, they all have their wives. I'm sure she's one of the wives. Varuna, Prahita Chasmai Malam Amalana Pankajam. Sent by Varuna, Goddess Lakshmi then presented him with a garland of unfading lotuses and a pair of garments colored blue like the ocean. Right, so pair means then there'd be a dhoti and a chadar. Srila Sridhar Swami also quotes the following statement from Harivamsa, spoken by Goddess Lakshmi to Lord Balaram. Jata rupa mayam chaikam kundalam vajra bhushanam. O Lord, please accept as divine ornaments for your ears the single gold earring studded with diamonds and this primeval lotus called Padma. Kindly accept them, for this act of ornamentation is traditional. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti further points out the goddess Lakshmi is the consort of the Lord's plenary portion, Sankarsana, who belongs to the second Chaturvyuha expansion. So then Sankarsana's wife, she is Kanti. So then in that form she came. But this is Balaram. So she's just come to serve as one of the Lakshmis. Does that make sense? So she's technically not Balaram's consort. She's the expansion of Balaram's consort. But it's all connected. Yes.
This aspect of Lord having the single earring, this is mentioned as one of the qualities of Nityananda Prabhu. I mean,
yeah, same person.
What is the significance of having this single
one earring? He's Balaram. He does things the way he likes. Specific, I'm not sure. I haven't come across the Acharya said anything. No? That's just that's the way he likes to do things.
There's some pastime with Nityananda that I can't remember.
And why he
happened,
has...
What happened to the second ear?
Okay. He put it in some snake. When it's related with his brother, there was some pastime.
With some nectar.
He put it in that snake hole.
The snake. For Ananta.
One snake.
So one for him, one for Ananta. Right? So I guess that they have to share. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's just different flavor. It's just a uniqueness that he does. So it's another masculine element. So in other words, Balaram's the most... I mean, Krishna's the most attractive masculine element. And then Balaram will have that servitorship. He also has there the origin of the, you know, dealing with the material energy. So that aspect of Shiva in that. So you don't see that in Krishna, but it's there in Balaram. But it's not manifest there. So you have this other aspect. So then that just comes down that line. Yes.
So when you see guys walking around with one ear ring,
that's where the source is. But we have to remember, two earrings are more attractive than one. So they're thinking that they're the most cool. But actually, the guy with two looks better. Because otherwise, if one looked better, Krishna would wear one, right? So he wears two.
Maybe they're followers of
Maybe they're followers of Lord Shiva. But also, which ear ring? Because when you have two, you don't have to worry about it. When you have one, then there's some meaning. I don't know if it still does, but before it meant whether you were... Yeah. How you say? Which team you were batting for. I think it's the term. Yes. Okay. Yeah. No. We're good. Okay. So. Okay. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Lord Balaram dressed himself in the blue garments and put on the gold necklace. Anointed with fragrances and beautifully adorned, he appeared as resplendent as Indra's royal elephant. Right? Because Airavata is white and he's very white. You know, so that's. And he just takes on that lordy kind of mood. So that's the thing. Balaram has that kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. While Krishna, then it's the, you know, controlled by the guru, the girlfriend's flavor. So with Krishna, how these pastimes unfold, you see it's more him, the gopis, and their interaction. Mm-hmm. Here you see it's about Balaram is going and doing all these nice things with his consorts. Mm-hmm. Slightly different flavor.
Mm-hmm. Can we say that Krishna displays the sweetest aspect, as you said, and Balaram displays more of his mood of being powerful?
Balaram's more power, and that means you could, because he's the origin of all that. But I would say it's more as Krishna's manifesting the Icha and Balaram's manifesting the Kriya. Like that. But you could say is that that has its origin. It will be that quality in Balaram is what will manifest, you know, as the Vaikuntha mood. Like that. But it's not at this point. It's just the origin of it. Srila Sukadev goes, oh no, we had that. Even today, O King, one can see how the Jamuna flows through the many channels created when it was dragged by the unlimitedly powerful Lord Balaram. Thus, she demonstrates his prowess. 32-33. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, by the mercy of Balaram, the river flows here even today. The river is seen, Vartamana, in the trough made by dragging of the plow. Or the river indicates to some degree, Eva, Balaram's power by the path, Vartamana, made by pulling the plow, since he actually has unlimited powers. Ananta, Viryasya. The word he indicates that this is well known. Harivamsa describes, this path made by my plow should flood the beautiful place by spreading water. My fame shall remain as long as people remain. Right? So that quality in the Jamuna that he's done, that will remain as long as there's people. Right? And then when there's, at the end of the day of Lord Brahma, when there's no more people, then it won't be there anymore. Then he'll do it next time. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, "Thus for Lord Balaram, all the nights passed like a single night as he enjoyed in Braja, his mind enchanted by the exquisite charm and beauty of Braja's young ladies." Right? So this charm, that's what's then used as the medium. Right? Like that. And that's how he's reciprocating. So they're expressing their love for him, that prema. And so he's reciprocating through that medium. Right? Does that make sense? That's how it works. What medium is used, that's the one that you respond with. Right? Means if it's appropriate. Right? If it's not appropriate, then it's not used. Srila Sanatana Goswami concludes, "In the manner described, Evam, drinking Varuni and dressing colorfully, Balaram enjoyed the many nights of over 2 months passed as if it was one night. He enjoyed with the women of Vraja. Belonging to Vraja, they were qualified for him." Right? Because in other words, he's from Vraja, so there's that particular mood, and they're from Vraja, so they have that same mood, so therefore they're qualified.
The previous point, that the Lord reciprocates in the same way
yeah.
the devotees deal. When we deal according to sadhana bhakti, how will the Lord respond?
In a formal way. Right? We deal formally, he responds formally. Means that's what we have, because otherwise, why else are we doing what we do? We do because that's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not that it's a spontaneous affection. It's that it's we're going to Mangal Arati because we're supposed to, rather than we want to be there. Like the cowherd boys, when Krishna goes, they go to sleep so they can get up early and go see Krishna first thing in the morning. Right? Does that make sense? Or Radha and Krishna, they're asleep, but the time has come to get up and go back to their houses. So all the gopis, they're all up, and they're making the arrangements in that because they want to see them when they first come. So they wake them up, they bring them out, they have the arti, they do the whole thing.
And when we, when the upper sampradayas, for example, Sahajis, they approach the Lord, he doesn't respond. But he responds in Maya.
Yeah, it's Maya. Because otherwise, what's the respond to? You know? You got this funny, fat looking guy with a beard, you know, wearing a sari and pretending he's a gopi. How are you supposed to respond to that? Yeah, so. Yeah. Belonging to Vraja, they were qualified for him. His mind was attracted by their great beauty and skill. Madhurahi. Though it seemed one night, it was actually many nights, as in the case of Kandu thinking that a few hundred years of enjoyment with Pramlocha was only one day. He had more bliss here than in Dwarka with Revati. Krishna sent him to Braja out of affection to experience this unprecedented happiness. On the strength of Krishna's word, he enjoyed with the gopis in Braja. Then he went to Dwarka. Nothing else is said. Though expected, by leaving Braja again, the people experienced double pain. Because of Sukadev's and Purikit's pain, Sukadev could not say anything. Right? So then that's why it just ends here. Okay. Yes?
Does it mean that because Krishna's rasa lila happened much earlier than this pastime, so it didn't happen then as well, it just happened like this?
That I can't say because we're not in that line, so it's not overly discussed.
Oh.
So whether he was having his own rasa dance, because as it pointed out, where he'd have his rasa dance is at a distance from where Krishna would have his.
Right.
So it's not the same place, so you don't get these mixed, Udipan aspect. Mm-hmm. So the area is there, that's Krishna's area. So wherever Krishna would have his rasa dance, Balaram didn't use those places. Right? So whether that was going on before when he was in Braj or not, that would be in Dharpadatis, yes.
It's mentioned once, when Shankachuda passed time, both were doing this.
Well, with Shankachuda, okay.
That's true.
Yeah, they were both. So Balaram was doing his, just in a different place. So, you know, both brothers are sneaking out. But for us, then we just hear about Krishna, because that's where our focus is.
Moreover, it has been said that this particular Rasa Yadavin Balaram and the Gopis, it took place for the first time. Because when Krishna was performing his Rasa with the gopis, that time these gopis were small girls, you know, so they did not perform. Then he came after going to Dwarka, getting married, and then performing the Rasa Lila.
With these ones?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Chakravarti Thakur says.
Oh, okay. That's in here? Oh, that was before?
That was before.
Okay. So, but same times, he also had his Rasa Lila at the same time with his gopis there. So it's just there's more of his gopis. Vishnu Puran merely says Masa Dvayena Yatas Cha Puna Cha Dwarakam Purim. Staying 2 months, Balaram returned to Dwarka. Harivamsa describes Krishna's meeting with Balaram. Balaram, still wearing a traveler's dress, beautiful with a new garland on his chest, embraced Krishna. Seeing Balaram coming quickly, Krishna rose and offered him an excellent seat. Seeing him, Krishna asked about the welfare of all his friends and the cows. Balaram answered his brother who spoke sweetly. O Krishna, all those for whose good health you desire are fine. Then the two spoke on various subjects of former times in front of Vasudeva. Because they were in the assembly, general questions and answers were given. In private, Krishna asked about his gopis. Right, so it would be, just be general, because they all know, the Yadavas, they're all one family, the Dasarhas, right? So then in that, then, you know, when he asks, oh, how are, you know, there, and he says, well, whoever you're worried about, they're all fine. So then for them, they'll mean, you know, Nanda, Jashoda, and other senior members, and the cow, you know, what's going on there. But it also means that the gopis are fine. So he's answered his question. But at the same time, as it's only in private, because everyone else is there, that these things will be discussed in detail. Conclusion. The inhabitants of Vrindavan sacrificed everything for Krishna. They were simply captivated by the lotus eyes of Lord. They never desired anything like elevation to the heavenly planets or merging into the effulgence of Brahman to become one with the absolute truth. They were not even interested in enjoying a life of opulence, but were satisfied in living a simple life in the village as cowherds. Hence, they did not desire any personal benefits. Thus, they were always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Chapter 66, Poundrika, the false Vasudeva. As you mentioned. Pratigya. Any rascal who advertises himself as God is the greatest fool in human society. Chapter 66 summarizes questions and answers. The citizens of Kashi ask each other question 1036 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 1036. Seeing a head covered, decorated with earrings, lying at the gate of the royal palace, the people present were puzzled. Some of them asked, what is this? And others said, it's a head, but whose is it? It's a serious inquiry. What is this? It's a head, but whose head? Srila Sukadeva addresses the question in verse 26. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna went to Kashi, present-day Banaras, and killed Poundrika and Kashiraj, and how the Lord Sudarshana Disk defeated a demon, incinerated the city of Kashi, and killed Sudakshina. While Lord Baladeva was visiting Vraja, King Poundrika of Karusha, encouraged by fools, announced that he was the real Vasudeva. Thus he challenged Lord Krishna with the following message. Since I am alone the true personality of Godhead, you should give up your false claim to this position, as well as my divine symbols, and take shelter of me. If you do not, then prepare for battle. When Ugrasena and the members of his royal assembly heard Poundrika's foolish boast, they all laughed heartily. Sri Krishna then told Poundrika's messenger to convey a message to his master. O fool, I will force you to give up the so-called Sudarshan disc and other divine symbols of mine you have dared to assume. And when you lie down on the battlefield, you will become the shelter of dogs. Lord Krishna then went to Kashi, Pandraka, seeing the Lord preparing for battle, quickly came out of the city to confront him with his army. His friend Kashiraj followed him, leading the rear guard. Just as the fire of universal devastation destroys every living being in all directions, so Lord Krishna annihilated the armies of Pandraka and Kashiraj. Then, after chastising Pandraka, the Lord beheaded both him and Kashiraj with his Sudarshan disc. Thereafter, he returned to Dwarka. Because Pandraka had constantly meditated on the Supreme Lord, even dressing like him, he gained liberation. When Krishna beheaded Kashiraj, the king's head flew into his city. And when his queen's sons and other relatives saw it, they all began to lament. At that time, a son of Kashiraj's named Sudakshina, wanting to avenge his father's death, began worshipping Lord Shiva with the intention of destroying his father's killer. Gratified by Sudakshina's worship, Lord Shiva offered him a choice of benedictions, and Sudakshina asked for a means to kill the one who had slain his father. Lord Shiva advised him to worship the Dakshinagni fire with black magic rituals. This Sudakshina did, with the result that a fearsome demon with a body of flames appeared from the pit of the sacrificial fire. The demon rose up carrying a fiery trident and at once set off for Dwarka. The residents of Lord Krishna's capital became terrified as the demon approached the city. But Lord Krishna assured them of protection and dispatched the Sudarshan disc to oppose the magic creation of Lord Shiva. The Sudarshana overpowered the demon, who then returned to Varanasi and burned Sudakshina to ashes, together with his priests. That's just how this black magic works. You send the magic to someone who's more powerful or shouldn't be sent towards, the magic will just rebound and destroy you. It's just how it works. The Sudarshana disc, following the demon, entered Varanasi and burned the entire city to the ground. Then the Lord's disc returned to his side in Dwarka. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses 1-9. King Pandraka's message to Lord Krishna, 10-26. Lord Krishna slays Pandraka and Kashiraj, 27-37. Sudakshina engages Dakshinagni fire against Lord Krishna, 38-43. Dakshinagni fire reverts to kill Sudakshina. Verses 1-9. King Pandraka's message to Lord Krishna. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, while Lord Balaram was away visiting Nanda's village of Braja, the ruler of Karusha, foolishly thinking I am the Supreme Lord, Vasudev, sent a message to Lord Krishna, the BBT purport mentions. Since Lord Rama had gone to Nanda Braja, Pandraka foolishly thought that Lord Krishna would be alone and therefore easy to challenge. Thus he dared to send his crazy message to the Lord. So you can see is that the nature of the duty of kings, they have to know what's going on everywhere. So then Pandraka, even though he's in Varanasi, he knew what was happening in Dwarka. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's just how it goes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Pandraka was emboldened by the flattery of childish men who told him, you are Vasudev, the Supreme Lord and Master of the Universe, who have now descended to the earth. Thus he imagined himself to be the infallible personality of Godhead. Thus, slow-witted King Pandraka sent a messenger to the inscrutable Lord Krishna at Dwarka. Pandraka was acting just like an unintelligent child whom other children are pretending as a king. Footnote 9. The BBT purport mentions, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the reason Sukadeva Goswami here mentions for the second time that Pandraka sent a message to Lord Krishna is that the great sage is astonished at Pandraka's extreme foolishness. Arriving at Dwarka, the messenger found Lotus-eyed Krishna in his royal assembly and relayed the king's message to that almighty Lord. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, the messenger was also a fool, too. He spoke to Krishna, Lord of the Yadus, or of the universe, Prabhum, since he was directly Bhagavan, Krishnam. He was full of all powers, Prabhum, and most beautiful, Kamala Patraksham. Thus he was qualified as Bhagavan. or with his lotus eyes, he glanced at the messenger curiously, intently. Srila Prabhupada writes the Krishna book. The story of King Paundrika is very interesting because it proves that there have always been many rascals and fools who have considered themselves God, even in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. There was such a foolish person. His name was Paundrika, and he wanted to declare himself God. While Lord Balaram was absent in Vrindavan, this King Paundrika, the king of Karusha province, being foolish and puffed up, sent a messenger to Lord Krishna. Lord Balaram is accepted as the Supreme Personality of God. Lord Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But King Paundrika directly challenged Krishna through the messenger, who stated that Paundrika, not Krishna, was Vasudeva. In the present day, there are many foolish followers of such rascals. Similarly, in Paundrika's day, many foolish men accepted Paundrika as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he could not estimate his own position. Paundrika falsely thought himself to be the Lord, Vasudeva. Right? He couldn't understand who he is as the soul, you know, as the Tathasta Shakti of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, all these things he couldn't understand. So because of his inability to understand, therefore now with the encouragement of these fools, then he's thinking he is God. Thus the messenger declared to Krishna that King Paundrika, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had descended to the earth out of his causeless mercy just to deliver all distressed persons. Surrounded by many other foolish persons, this rascal Paundrika had actually concluded that he was Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This kind of conclusion is certainly childish. When children are playing, they sometimes select a quote-unquote king amongst themselves, and the selected child may think that he is actually the king. Similarly, many foolish persons, due to ignorance, select another fool as God, and then the rascal actually considers himself God, as if God could be created by childish play or by the votes of men. Under this false impression, thinking himself the Supreme Lord, Paundrika sent his messenger to Dwarka to challenge the position of Krishna. The messenger reached the royal assembly of Krishna in Dwarka and conveyed the message given by his master, Paundrika. The message contained the following statements. On Paundrika's behalf, the messenger said, "I am the one and only Vasudeva, and there is no other. It is I who have descended to this world to show mercy to the living beings. Therefore, give up your false name. O Satvata, give up my personal symbols, which out of foolishness you now carry, and come to me for shelter. If you do not, then you must give me battle." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "You allow the false weapons which I have adopted out of foolish. Not having fought with me, you permit it. You have done wrong in not taking them away from me. Make me give up those weapons. Come and give me liberation. If you are the protector from material existence, Sharanam, being deliverer of liberation for even demons like me, then fight with me and give me liberation." Right? So he's just taking the same thing that he said, and by the Sanskrit putting it into this other form, that he's saying that you're allowing this to go on, you know, like that, so you should show mercy, and therefore, you know, then correct this situation. You know, so that's the acharyas always know how to adjust the things.
Maharaj is like a prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that with all, even with the 100 insults of Shishupal. They do the same thing, make them all into prayers. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. So in his connection with Krishna, all these double meanings, all that is all very nice. But on the material platform, it may seem like some fun, but it still ends up as just material. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "King Ugrasena and the other members of the assembly laughed loudly when they heard this vain boasting of unintelligent Paundrika. The personality of Godhead, after enjoying the jokes of the assembly," right? So then they would be laughing and then making jokes on it and just going on like that. Poor messenger has to sit there and listen to all this. Right?
And even in the assembly, the symbols of the Lord were personified, present there, so even they were having fun.
Oh, okay. Okay. She was saying that the symbols of the Lord, Shankachakra Gaudapadma, in personified form, were also there, and they're also laughing. You know? The personality of Godhead, after enjoying the jokes of the assembly, told the messenger to relay a message to his master. You fool, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of in this way. When you lie dead, O fool, your face covered by vultures, herons, and vata birds, you will become the shelter of dogs. Right? Means he's saying, give up those weapons. He says, I will release them like that. But then, yeah, it doesn't quite work out the way he wants it. Verses 10 to 26. Lord Krishna slays Paundrika and Kasiraj. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the Lord had thus spoken, the messenger conveyed his insulting reply to his master in its entirety. Right, so messengers had to have good memories, right? Lord Krishna then mounted his chariot and went to the vicinity of Kashi. Upon observing Lord Krishna's preparations for battle, the mighty warrior Paundrika quickly went out of the city with two full military divisions. Paundrika's friend, the king of Kashi, followed behind. O king, leading the rear guard with three Akshahini divisions, right? So he's gone out with five, right? So already with Charasandha, he's destroyed 17, right? And then with this will be five, right? So that we're 22. And then he did with someone else. Was it the Banasura? I think all his ones and like this. So in this way, he's destroying, you know, so many like that. And then you'll have the 18 at one shot, you know, in so a lot.
Shalva also comes later.
Yeah, so you guys have plenty of relieving the burden of the earth, right? Yeah. Lord Krishna saw that Paundrika was carrying the Lord's own insignia, such as the conch shell, disc, sword, and club, and also an imitation Sharanga bow and Srivatsa mark. He wore a mock Kustuba gem, was decorated with a garland of forest flowers, and was dressed in upper and lower garments of fine yellow silk. His banner bore the image of Garuda, and he wore a valuable crown and gleaming, sharp-shaped earrings. Right? So he must have copied others.
Four arms.
Yeah, I think four.
No,
he didn't have it. He just put some on. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, yeah. Nripaha indicates that he had great wealth. Sometimes Nripa, O king, is seen. Paundrika had a false Srivatsa made by borrowing someone else's body hair. His clothing and ornaments were fake. This will be explained later. Vishnu Purana says, Vakshas Yalankritam Chasya Srivatsam Dadrishe Harihi. The Lord saw him with ornaments and Srivatsa on his chest. The word Adi indicates the lotus and other symbols. As a blessing from Shiva, he could display four arms. This is explained in Padma Purana Uttarakhanda. They were also false, since they could be removed from below his armpits with a sword. His crown and ornaments were imitations that looked like the Lord's fine ornaments.
You can remove the arms with your sword.
Yeah, but it seems that these ones maybe could be put back on and taken off. But whatever, it was some funny thing. So it appears they're false, but he's put on and he's able to use them. So it's a benediction of Lord Shiva. So. Srila Sukadev continued, Lord Hari laughed heartily when he saw how the king had dressed up in exact imitation of his own appearance, just like an actor on a stage. Footnote 10. His ornaments were imitation, kri trimam, whereas the Lord's were naturally manifest. He had dressed with skill. Thus the Lord laughed especially loud. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The enemies of Lord Hari attacked him with tridents, clubs, bludgeons, pikes, rishtis, barbed darts, lances, swords, axes, and arrows. But Lord Krishna fiercely struck back at the army of Paundrika and Kashiraj, which consisted of elephants, chariots, cavalry, and infantry. Right? So all four to full. The Lord tormented his enemies with his sword, club, Sudarshana disc, and arrows, just as the fire of annihilation torments the various kinds of creatures at the end of a cosmic age. The battlefield strewn with the dismembered chariots, horses, elephants, humans, mules, and camels that had been cut to pieces by the Lord's disc weapon shone like the gruesome playground of Lord Bhutapati, giving pleasure to the wise. Footnote 11. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, although the devastated battlefield appeared like the dancing place of Lord Shiva at the time of dissolution of the world, the warriors who were on the side of Krishna were very much encouraged by seeing this, and they fought with greater strength. Right? So that's the thing. When there's a really fierce battle, then warriors become more inspired. Like that. You know, so then they like that. You know, it's like when Jarasandha came, those who were, you know, strong at heart, they become inspired, and those who are weak at heart, then they would kind of shy away because it was just so intense. Lord Krishna then addressed Poundrika. My dear Poundrika, the very weapons you spoke of through your messenger, I now release unto you. Right? Now he's used them to destroy the army and all that. Now I'll give them to you. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book. At this time, Lord Krishna told Poundrika, Poundrika, you requested me to give up the symbols of Lord Vishnu, specifically my disc. Now I will give them to you. Be careful. You falsely declare yourself to be Vasudev, imitating myself. Therefore, no one is a greater fool than you. From the statement of Krishna's, it is clear that any rascal who advertises himself as God is the greatest fool in human society. Lord Krishna continued, O fool, now I shall make you renounce my name, which you have falsely assumed, and I will certainly take shelter of you if I do not wish to fight you. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, having thus derided Poundrika, right, means I will certainly take shelter of you if I don't want to fight. Not that I've been defeated. It's just a matter of if I don't want to fight. But he does want to fight. Having thus derided Poundrika, Lord Krishna destroyed his chariot with his sharp arrows. The Lord then cut off his head with the Sudarshan disc, just as Lord Indra lops off a mountain peak with his thunderbolt weapon. With his arrows, Lord Krishna similarly severed Kashi Raja's head from his body, sending it flying into Kashi City like a lotus flower thrown by the wind. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the reason that the king of Kashi's head was thrown into the city of Kashi can be inferred as follows. O inhabitants of Kashi, today I will bring the head of the enemy into Kashi. Do not doubt this. Promising this, the king went to battle. His sinful, proud wives also told their friends, today our husband will bring the head of the master of Dwarka. For this reason, the playful Lord put the king's head in the city to astonish the inhabitants. Right? Because he's, because of atheistic and proud nature, they're actually the enemies. So then it's their head that ended up there. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, having thus killed envious Poundrika and his ally, Lord Krishna returned to Dwarka. As he entered the city, the siddhas of heaven chanted his immortal nectarian glories. But constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Poundrika shattered all his material bonds. Indeed, by imitating Lord Krishna's appearance, O King, he ultimately became Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada writes, yes.
So was he able to attain Sarupya Mukti?
That we'll see, because it mentioned before he was just liberated. Because the point is generally when they're demoniac, they attain Sayuja. Then, in that position, because they're liberated, then they, meditating upon the Lord, as opposed to the material energy, then they attain the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that's generally how the demons are elevated. Like that. So that's why it's saying the demons get liberation. So what's the special deal? Why would anybody want that? So it's not something special. But when they finally then make it to Vaikuntha, then now that's better. But if they make it there, just in that little bit of absorption in the Lord, then how much nicer it is if one is absorbed in devotion and by that gotten oneself there. Does that make sense? So the idea is anything connected to the Lord is a benefit, but it's not the same in how it does. It means they're meditating on the Lord in anger and envy, jealousy, all these negative qualities. And the devotee is meditating on the Lord in devotion. So ultimately you may say, but the path that they take is not the same. For the devotees it's very nice, for the others it's not that good. Does that make sense? So to try to say that they're equal, they're not actually. But that you're connected to the Lord, that's always a benefit. And you see here, generally, except for Putana, then they all just attain Vaikuntha. Because it's only with that specific devotion that they'll go to Golok. Does that make sense? The reverence for the Lord, that will get you Vaikuntha. Yeah. Mm. You know, and then they'll have that particular kind of prema. Yeah.
Maharaj, the behavior of this particular this king versus the rest of the demons who are envious of the Lord, it looks like some kind of a psychiatric case, this person. So what is the Supreme Lord's rationale to kill him instead of sitting, like, you know, taking him to the side and giving counsel, you're crazy, like, you know, stop doing this madness?
Just in Psych 101, is that the first thing they tell you is when you have a crazy person, just take them to the side and very pleasantly tell them that they're crazy. Stop being crazy. Isn't that the way it works? No. So then why would the Lord?
It's just beyond stupid, this behavior that what is exhibiting.
Yeah, so therefore to fools, you can't say anything, because fools, that's the point, they're foolish. Yeah. And so, like that, he's a demon. He's opposed to devotional service and Kashi Raj and all their army. And so then he removes that.
The wives are also.
It appears that they also are very proud, like that. You know, telling their friends, "Today our husband will bring the head of the master of Dwarka." So then that's why then the head landed in their midst, so that they get, you know, front row seats. Like that,
you know. The Sudarshan Chakra destroys the whole city.
Yeah, and then he'll come back later.
Sudarshan Chakra destroys the whole city.
Yes, yes. But at this point or later? Yes, just because of the sun. So in other words, he killed him and then moved on. He doesn't have more. He doesn't have to establish anything. He doesn't have to prove any point. He just removed it and went back. So he has no interest. He has no need to establish himself. Yes.
Was that the city of Kashi that we heard about in the previous pastime where Sudarshan burned the city down?
That's what's coming up. Yes, that was the description of this chapter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the chapter summary. Yes, it's the same place. You know, and then it will be, I guess, you know, it's been there all this time, so it's they'll just rebuild. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "As far as Pandrika was concerned, somehow or other, he always thought of Lord Vasudeva by falsely dressing himself in imitation of the Lord. Therefore, Pandrika achieved Sarupya, one of the five kinds of liberation, and was thus promoted to the Vaikuntha planets, where the devotees have the same bodily features as Vishnu, with four hands holding the four symbols. Factually, his meditation was concentrated on the Vishnu form, but because he thought himself Lord Vishnu, it was offensive. By his being killed by Krishna, however, that offense was mitigated. Thus, he was given Sarupya, liberation, and he attained the same form as the Lord."
So he was very fortunate that he never came to the point of zero, that is liberation. He directly went to Vaikuntha.
Yeah. So it means, point is, the Lord does as he pleases. So whatever's here, he's absorbing himself in the form of the Lord, so it's natural then he would, for the Lord to bless him by the... the Swarupya. But the general process is demons are killed and then they go. So as if we have an exception with Putana, why can't we have an exception with him?
Yeah. What happens, like, when Lord is sending Sudarshan Chakra and in the future, if he is killing through Sudarshan Chakra, that time also they are going to get the liberation?
That, I'm not sure. I haven't heard. It specifically mentions different people, but I would expect that there would be some aspect of liberation. I would expect that's what they would say. Srila Sanatana Goswami adds, "Pandrika was absorbed in Brahman, Tan Mayam. This means he attained liberation. Why? By meditating on the Lord with hatred continually, he destroyed all bondage of samsara, or he destroyed all karmas of piety and sins, right? By meditating on the Lord. He destroyed the fault of hating the Lord. by the power of the Lord, all his karmas were destroyed without having to experience them. Otherwise, he could not achieve liberation. The reason for his constant meditation on the Lord was that he wore clothing similar, surupam, to the Lord's, harehe. The word cha indicates his friend Kashiraj also attained liberation. Or all his sins were destroyed by meditating on the Lord in hatred, and all his pious acts were destroyed by wearing clothing similar to the Lord's. And cha, by imitating the Lord's form, he experienced a special happiness. The Lord was most attractive, O King. Sukadev calls out in astonishment at his meditation on the Lord. Right, so by always meditating on the Lord, he destroyed all his sin. By dressing and imitating the Lord, he had destroyed all his piety. So in this way, he came to the liberated platform. So the Sukadev Goswami continued. Seeing a head decorated with earrings lying at the gate of the royal palace, the people present were puzzled. Some of them asked, "What is this?" And others said, "It is a head, but whose is it?" Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "When the head of the king of Kashi was thrown through the city gate, people gathered and were astonished to see that wonderful thing. When they found out that there were earrings on it, they could understand that it was someone's head. They conjectured as to whose head it might be. Some thought it was Krishna's head because Krishna was the enemy of Kashiraj. And they calculated the king of Kashi might have thrown Krishna's head into the city so that people might take pleasure in the enemies having been killed. But it was finally detected that the head was not Krishna's but that of Kashiraj himself." Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear king, when they recognized it as the head of their king, the Lord of Kashi, his queens, sons, and other relatives, along with all the citizens of the city, began to cry pitifully, 'Alas, we are killed. Oh, my Lord, my Lord.'" Verses 27 to 37. Sudakshina engages Dakshinagni, fire, against Lord Krishna. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, "After Lord Krishna's son, Sudakshina, had performed the obligatory funeral rituals for his father, he resolved within his mind, 'Only by killing my father's murderer can I avenge his death.'" But it means they went out to battle and now suddenly he's a murderer. You know, that's the thing with the demoniac mentality. If it's unfavorable for yourself, you'll always interpret it in a bad way, even if what you're doing is bad. Right? You know, like the first kid goes up and hits the second kid. Then the second kid hits him back. "Why are you hitting me?" You know, it's like, but you hit him for, you know, it just does not compute. Mm-hmm. It absolutely doesn't. Mm-hmm. So, like that. Thus, the charitable Sudakshina, together with his priest, began worshipping Lord Maheshwara with great attention. Footnote 12. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "The Lord of the kingdom of Kashi is Vishwanath, Lord Shiva. The temple of Lord Vishwanath is still existing in Varanasi. Many thousands of pilgrims still gather daily in that temple." Satisfied by the worship, the powerful Lord Shiva appeared in the sacred precinct of Avimukta and offered Sudakshina his choice of benedictions. The prince chose as his benediction a means to slay his father's killer. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "Shiva, also called Avimukta, was the presiding deity at the Tirtha. Thus the place was called Avimukta. Vishnu Purana says, 'Avi kute mahakshetre toshitas tena shankaraha.' At Avimukta, Shiva became pleased with him." Okay. So we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Veda.